The following message is from the audio teaching library of the Briarwood Pulpit, a ministry of the Briarwood Presbyterian Church in Birmingham, Alabama. Our speaker is Dr. Harry Reeder, senior pastor of Briarwood Presbyterian Church. It is our hope and prayer that this message will equip and encourage you in your walk with Christ, and as a result, you will be used by our Lord as an instrument of change to further His kingdom and bring honor and glory to the name of Christ. Here now is our pastor teacher, Harry Reeder.
Let's take a few moments in God's Word. Now, this service, you provide the sermon, not me. I'm only going to do the introduction. And then you, with focused moments at these microphones, will give thanks to the Lord. So you be ready. And I'll turn it over to you in just a minute. But I thought we'd take a few moments to set the stage that we don't just do this out of an abstract moment. This comes to us in a very unique moment. And that is the unique origin of our national holiday of Thanksgiving. Very unique, as I mentioned this morning, in that this is the only holiday that I know that is uniquely Christian and national in its origin. That now, while Christmas and Easter are holidays that are clearly Christian, they're not national. The celebration of the birth of Christ and the death and resurrection of Christ and the ascension of Christ, all of the great works of Christ predate this nation. But out of this nation, and the way that God formed it in His providence, those who settled it initially at many different times had seasons of thanksgiving. But there's a thread that kind of gets started at a certain moment. Now, you can go all the way back to the 16th century, the 1500s, and find evidences of those who came to this land when they gave thanks during periods of time at various places. But the point where this began to be a focal point, to be built into the fabric of this nation, the influence of Christianity came in 1621, of course, our Pilgrim forebearers that landed here, those nonconformist Calvinists, Congregationalists and Presbyterians and Baptists who were sent out of England and other places of Europe because they were nonconformists. In other words, they wouldn't bow to a state church. And so they came to this land and they settled this land. These forebears, even before they got off of that Mayflower ship, did the Mayflower Compact, looking to the Lord to do something here, that even a nation might be a city set on the hill. And they were looking for God's, the success of the gospel of Christ. They immediately met with much adversity. Over half of their number died that first year. They were starving, but except for God's special providences through friendly Native Americans and others, but God's special acts of providence that took place, they were sustained. And as they were sustained, when they arrived in December the 13th through the 16th, 1621, they declared a festival of Thanksgiving. Now, it wasn't just one day, it was 3 days. And they went out, they actually sent some guys out with some guns and said, don't come back without some birds. And they went out and brought back the birds and they began to cook them. And they began to invite those who had befriended them in. And then they began to give thanks to the Lord for 3 days, giving praise to God and giving thanks to Him for what He had done in their life. Now, being a Calvinist and not wanting to invoke anything that was not allowable from the Word of God, they didn't put this on Sunday. You wouldn't do this on Sunday. But it would be appropriate to do it on other days. The Lord's Day is holy unto the Lord, but it would be appropriate to set aside some seasons of thanksgiving, which they did. Well, this was continued on and off for a number of years. And then in 1789, there was a very significant moment when George Washington, of course, was to be elected as president. And in 1789, he issued a proclamation of Thanksgiving, building off of that first festival of Thanksgiving and calling for a day of Thanksgiving in the colonies. I thought you might be interested just to hear what he said. as we would take these few moments together. This is what he wrote. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God. In other words, this nation isn't the only nation that God's providence has blessed. All the nations ought to acknowledge the providence of the Almighty God. To obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer, to be observed by, acknowledged with grateful hearts, the many and signal favors of Almighty God upon this nation, especially by affording all of the peoples an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th of November next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of the great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that can be and will be. That we may then all unite in rendering unto Him our sincere and humble thanks for His kind care and protection of the people of this country, previous to their becoming a nation, for the signal and manifold mercies and the favorable interpositions of His providence in the course and conclusion of the late War of Independence, for the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty which we have since enjoyed, for the peaceable and rational manner in which we have been able to establish constitutions of government in the states for our safety and happiness, and particularly the national constitution now lately instituted for the civil and religious liberty with which we are blessed. It's interesting to me that when he gives thanks for the constitutions of the state, he then moves to the Constitution of the United States. And when he says one thing that is signal about it, that it secures the civil and religious liberties with which we are blessed and the means we have of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge to one another, and in general for all the great and various favors which He has been pleased to confer upon us. And also that we may then unite in most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations, and beseech Him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to enable us all, whether in public or private stations, to perform our several and relative duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all the people by constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional laws, discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed, to protect and guide all sovereigns and nations, especially such as have shown kindness to us as a nation, and to bless these nations with good governments, peace, and concord, and to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue, and the increase of science among them and us, and generally to grant unto all mankind such a degree of temporal prosperity as only He, the Lord, knows to be best. Given under my hand at the city of New York, the third day of October, 1789, and then signed George Washington. Well, in various ways, this was done periodically by subsequent presidents. Never declared a national holiday beyond the day that it was declared for that day, for that year in 1789, but it was done year after year for 74 years. And then in 1863, one of the five documents that whereby you can see the chronology of God's converting work in the life of Abraham Lincoln, he then, having adopted George Washington's desire for the motto, "In God We Trust," also adopted George Washington's desire that this would become a national holiday. And so he, under the influence of a woman by the name of Sarah Joseph Hale, she was a magazine editor. It was the Goody's Lady Book that she was the editor of. Goody's Lady Book that she was the editor of. And for 15 years, she would go to whoever was president to ask them to take George Washington's desire and make it a national holiday. Abraham Lincoln heard her, and in the midst of the converting work in his own life in 62 and 63, he responded to it on October the 3rd. October the 3rd, 74 years after Washington's. And this is what he so proclaimed. This year that is drawing toward its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful. Now remember, this is the middle of a war. With the blessings of fruitful fields and helpful skies, to these bounties we are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come. Others have been added which are so extraordinary in nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart which is habitually insensible to the ever-watchful providence of God Almighty. In the midst of a civil war of unequaled magnitude and severity, which has sometimes seemed to foreign states and nations to invite and to provoke their aggression against us, yet peace has been preserved with all nations. Order has been maintained. The laws have been respected and obeyed, and harmony has prevailed everywhere except in the theater of military conflict. While that theater has been greatly contracted by the advancing armies and navies of the Union, needful diversions of wealth and strength from the fields of peaceful industry to national defense have not arrested the plow, the shuttle, or the ship. The axe has enlarged the borders of our settlement, and the mines, as well as iron and coal and precious metals, have yielded even more abundantly than heretofore. In other words, even in the midst of this evil of war, came many blessings to the nation. Our population has steadily increased, notwithstanding the waste that has been made in the camp, the siege, and the battlefield. And the country, rejoicing in the consciousness of augmented strength and vigor, is permitted to expect continuance of years with large increase of freedom as a nation. No human counsel has devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. These are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, has nevertheless remembered mercy to us. It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, as a people, gratefully acknowledged, as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwells in the heavens. And I recommend to them that while offering up the ascriptions justly due to him for such singular deliverances and blessings, they do also with humble penitence for our national perseverance and for our national perverseness and disobedience, yet call upon him and commend to him our tender care, all those who have become widows and orphans and mourners and sufferers in the lamentable civil strife in which we are unavoidably engaged, and fervently implore the interposition of the Almighty Hand to heal the wounds of the nation and to restore it as soon as may be consistent with his divine purposes to the full enjoyment of peace, harmony, tranquility, and the union of these states. In testimony whereof, I have heretofore set my hand and the seal of the United States to be affixed, done at the city of Washington, this third day of October, in the year of our Lord, 1863, and the independence of the United States, the 88th year. President Abraham Lincoln, and then William Seward, Secretary of State. Of course, these were given, and they were so assigned. The national holiday still did not come about, but every succeeding year for the next 74 years, each president would declare the 4th November as a national holiday of thanksgiving before the Lord. Finally, in 1941, Franklin Delano Roosevelt declared that the fourth Thursday of every month of November would be a day of thanksgiving as a national holiday, and so it has been fixed since then. So I would simply read this as you now take the opportunity to carry out what God has secured in his providence in our nation throughout all of these years, a day that we can give thanks as a nation. And if anyone should lead a nation in giving thanks, it should be the people of God. Hearing the word of our Lord through the Apostle Paul. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Giving thanks in all circumstances. Why? This is God's will. Have you heard the theme from Washington to Lincoln? And you would have heard it from others if I'd had time to read them. In great days of adversity, they still saw the hand of God's providence. And they even saw the providence of God in the adversity. So that they would give thanks in everything. May we be such a people. But you can't give thanks in everything unless you've got a big God. The God of Scriptures, who is sovereign and causes all things to work together for good to those who love Him and to those who are called according to His purpose.
You have been listening to a message by Harry Reeder, Senior Pastor of Briarwood Presbyterian Church in Birmingham, Alabama. For more information on the resources available through Briarwood Presbyterian Church, or for more information on the teaching ministry of Pastor Reeder, visit us at briarwood.org or call 205-776-5200.